certainly is the Midwest Crop Tour continuing today, and it's getting market attention. So is the summit. And that's where we're going to kick it off. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Mike Zuzulo joins us with Global Commodity Analytics. And we've all been kind of watching this whole summit meeting that's been happening now with Trump and Zelensky and all the other components that are coming together. But the big question, I think, Mike, is what's next?
Yeah, and I think that is a big question. It's a good question because we've seen in the last couple of weeks where it's directly related to the price in cattle and beef and directly related to the price of beans and bean oil, because a part of the President Trump 2.0 second term, his trade policy is also his economic policy and is also his foreign policy. And, you know, we've talked a lot about that, Susan. And we saw that once again when he had to get essentially the president of Russia to the bargaining table and have a meeting with him. How was he going to do that? And it was through sanctioning Brazil for buying the Russian diesel and India for buying the Russian crude. And that sent big enough shockwaves in Brazil and India back to Moscow enough to get Vladimir Putin to sit down with the president in Anchorage last week. Now the question becomes, does he really want peace? And as we close out the session on Tuesday, we hear that maybe he's not ready for peace per President Trump. And some of the Russian media is pushing back on some of the comments about peace with Ukraine. And I think this opens a whole nother door back up again about what does President Trump then do with not just Russia and increasing sanctions on their oil, but what does he do with India? What does he do with Brazil? And most importantly, what does he do with China? Because China did get a pass this past weekend. President Trump talked about that and said, I'm not ready to go after any more higher tariffs with China. In 2 or 3 weeks, I may be ready to. And I think this really corresponds nicely with the Tuesday letter that was delivered from the Soybean Association to President Trump and the White House asking for help in getting more beans sold, and especially to China. So I think that might have worked into the negative mindset in soybeans on Tuesday's trade, along with a weaker bean oil price action and a weaker wheat price action, wheat making, you know, yet another new contract low. And now we're only about 6-7 cents away from the lows from last August. And my final point in all this is, why is wheat and why are bean oil both going down? And this relates to the crude oil market and the idea that the crude oil market is going down with the idea that we're going to have peace and peace talks are going to happen. And so it's very complex, and we have to just stay on top of it day after day and navigate through this time period.
So looking at that, I mean, that's all going to weigh heavily on the markets, especially when we sit and watch and wait for some sort of trade deals to continue. We know that there's been some deadline extensions, Mike, that have gone on. We know that others are backed away, like India, for example, with concerns raised there. How do you see kind of keeping everything on track so we can move forward and continue to benefit those in ag?
Yeah, it's a wonderful question, because I actually have been saying to clients and subscribers, Susan, I'm going to keep one eye on the trade and geopolitics, but I'm really going to stay more laser focused on off the combine sales and getting, you know, what I need to get sold for clients that they cannot store done during this time period. Because like last August, where we are very much like last August in price action and market reaction to the WASDE report, we had a very nice higher close and led by the soybeans last week. If we could get the crop tour, the weather, the Federal Reserve meeting to all work in favor of another weekly higher close without too many fireworks in the geopolitics and on the trade tariff issues with this peace talk, this peace summit going on or possibly happening, a second week higher, I think, would turn the market into more of a friendly mindset and, again, kind of solve the equation. Is this like last year? And that's what I'm waiting to see here as we go into midweek. It's very hard during the Pro Farmer tour early on to read the tea leaves because of the field surveys versus the final calculations at the end of the week. But so far, I think we can say on Tuesday, as the day started, it looked really, really good for production potential. But as the day went on and we moved out of Ohio and out of South Dakota and got into Nebraska and got into Indiana and some other states, that potential is just that. It's potential. And it looks pretty dry here the next 10 days in the U.S. corn and soybean belt. So I'm really trying to put together the idea that if we could get a second week higher close this week, like we did last year at this time, then we should be able to get maybe some prices that we can work with on getting those off the combine sales made.
And I find it interesting, too, since you're talking lack of rain, they're also talking fall-like temperatures, which makes it interesting for bean development.
It really does. I talked to a client about that in northern Indiana today, just a few minutes ago before we started taping this, and he said, my beans look great. They're not stressed right now yet on a high ground. And I said, what if it cools off to 80 degrees, but you don't get any rain for the next 10 days? He said, I just won't have the pods to fill, and I know I'll have BBs in some of those pods. And so for the soybeans at this stage of the game, it really is about the rainfall, regardless of the temperatures. And I think, hot and dry would obviously take the crop down fast, but relatively cool and dry is still going to limit our kernel depth on our corn and our fill and our pods, in my opinion. And that's why you got to be really careful about overselling your bushels, because you may be losing some bushels right now. You don't want to oversell what you think you can store right now.
So what about the switching gears to the livestock side, Mike? A demand is still there for beef, and this has been an interesting roller coaster we've been on the last couple weeks.
Yeah, it really has been. And you bring up a huge point, because we've got a lot of big burger sales right now going on. McDonald's is offering a deal where you can get a free Big Mac with the purchase of another one for just $1. You had told me before we went on air about a sit-down restaurant that was offering a hamburger special. Home Depot just came out on Tuesday with their Q2 sales. They were up 1%, kind of surprised the trade, thinking that maybe the consumer is still pretty strong at this point in time. Doesn't surprise me with record high stock market prices. Those 401ks do drive consumption, I think, Susan. But at the same time, we've seen these new all-time highs in feeder cattle 2 days in a row now off the heels of that USDA press conference late last week. But we haven't seen it yet in the fat cattle market. That 239.47 all-time high in lead month fats is still the all-time high as we progress to midweek. I think this is very important to watch, because this could be the early signs of some cash-related trade giving some pushback, even though the box beef prices are over 400, and even though we've got 242 plus negotiated cash steers out there, it doesn't seem like we've really established a market this week. So I'd like to see those fat cattle match up with the feeders and make some new records as we close out this week.
And as we wrap up, this poor pigs, I mean, they just kind of been sitting in the background and have not had a lot of attention to the market trade they've had.
Yes, and this is a very big seasonal price action. We lost the rocket jet of the August hogs, and now we're dealing with the October as the primary month at this point, as far as hedges and trading. We've gone from triple digit numbers down to $90 at this stage. And this matches up really nicely. I think we've talked about in the past where you get to the first, second week of August, it's very hard to keep that pork cutout going higher if you've had a higher trend going into midsummer. So that bacon, lettuce, tomato, BLT seasonal that I like to talk about, it's, probably peaking right here, right now. And it kind of doesn't bode the greatest for the hog market. I'm not thinking they're going to slide too much because of the cattle. But by the same token, can we really get that kind of energy back to make those highs like we did earlier in the summer? And I suspect that time period's probably passed without some new information, i.e. a U.S.-China trade deal.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Mike, for your thoughts today. As always, a quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.